Well, if you'll stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God, turn to your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. I'll have you read the even verses. I'll read the odd verses, and you'll join me on the even verses as we go through 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll begin in verse 1, and then you'll join me on verse 2, and we'll read through verse 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. As we look at this passage of scripture today in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, of course we see the personal matter here between Paul and his son in the faith, Timothy. And the heritage of his unfeigned faith, that which first dwelt with Lois, and his mother Eunice, and was also in him. And we see this wonderful show of love for this family and for the influence that Paul had with these people. And that is a great thing, to see people that you've had an opportunity to influence for Christ, and as they're around you and gathered around you, maybe even in a pew next to you. And can I tell you something? That's kind of the thing that has sparked our goal for this year of each one reaching one. It's to kind of look around us and to see people that we have had an opportunity to influence for the cause of Christ. And you can see the love and the gratefulness and the value of this dear family to the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul, in cities all across the known world at that time, had people like this, people that he had a chance to witness to, people that he had a chance to influence for Christ and show them the gospel, and they were saved and they were grown up in the Lord to do a work for God. Can I tell you something? God loves us. God puts people in our lives to influence us. You may think back to, if you are a believer in Christ, to someone that shared with you the gospel for the first time. Maybe someone that came by your door, or someone that at work that invited you to come to a church and to hear of the wonderful grace of God that provides salvation. You see, but it all begins with God. Paul thanked God for this opportunity. Paul thanked God that he could serve in the ministry and have remembrance of this dear family, as he desired to see them to grow and to develop and to become what God wanted them to be. But it was through God that these things were possible. If you look with me as I read, if you will, in verse 9, Once again, we'll review and look what it says. He says, who, that's speaking of God, hath saved us. God has saved us. God has given us eternal life. God has provided His Son for us a sacrifice and a propitiation, a payment for our sin, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. You know, in John it tells us that we didn't love Him first, but He loved us first. It tells us that we're not looking for Him, but He came looking for us. Don't you love what Jesus said? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you notice that the lost were not looking for Jesus? Jesus was looking for them. It didn't say that. Because the world loved God so much, He sent His Son. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, for God so loved the world that He gave. You see, folks, we did not initiate this thing. God did. We did not start this thing. God did. So today we're just going to simply talk about the divine call. The divine call. In verse 9, Paul says that He hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In the beginning, God created. Yeah. In the beginning. Before that, He hath called us with a holy calling. You know what? Only a divine being could do that. Only a timeless being can do that. God hath called us with a holy calling. You see, Paul believed that God had directed his steps. God had led them this way. This is what Paul was trying to pass on to his son in the faith, Timothy, and encourage him and help him to grow and become a pastor, a leader of people. God has called us to some things in our lives. He's invited us. He's summoned us to come or to be present. He's asked us to draw nigh, to arrive at and be present in His presence. God has called us to some things. You know what's interesting about a call? Is it needs to be answered. It needs to be answered. If we're going to be invited, we need to show up. If we're going to be summoned, we need to come. You know, as a father, I often call upon my children. Sometimes it's a name. Sometimes it's several names. Sometimes it's just, hey! Whatever the call may be, what do I expect? An answer. I expect an answer. Or at the very least, I expect an appearance. You know, I mean, they may be far away, but at least a response of some kind is what is expected. Yes? Is there any doubt that God is calling or has called? And what's His reasonable expectation? An answer. An answer. God wants mankind to answer. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Hey, what is that? That's a response. Hey, listen, is Jesus there knocking? Is he wanting someone to answer the door and someone to respond to His call? Yes, He is. He said, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, Even also as I overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. In Revelation 22, the Bible says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is in this world, beckoning, begging, calling people to come to Jesus Christ. The bride, that's the church. The church is knocking on doors. Hi, my name is Eric. This is Ron. We're here from Lighthouse Baptist Church. Do you have a place to go to church? Well, we'd like to have you at our services. And before we go, we'd like to ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Hey, the Spirit says come. The bride says come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You understand that God is calling us to salvation. God is calling us to repentance. He wants us to be saved. In Ezekiel 33, the Bible tells us, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? You know, the Bible tells us that God wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to be saved. He doesn't want them to die and go to hell. He is calling, come to me, come to me, come to me. He sent his Spirit to be a light and a voice of repentance. You know, John the Baptist was one out of due time that was called to preach and set the way of Jesus Christ, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make the crooked paths straight, to call unto people, call them to repentance. We know in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says that now after John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You understand that God wants people to know about salvation. He hasn't hidden it away so that none can find it, that only a few choice people can find salvation because they're worthy of it. None of us are worthy of it. And he wants everyone to find it. Even murderers. Even horrible, wicked people that persecute God's children. You say, who are you talking about? Well, the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus. You see, he wrote several books of the New Testament. I know. And he admitted of his own words that he was saved and he was the chief of sinners. You know what? By his own account, Paul should have, if you will, split hell wide open. If anybody deserved hell, Paul did, with all that he had done in his life. I mean, he stood there holding the coats of the people that picked up stones and put to death Stephen, a servant of God. And he was even in the middle of preaching. Now put the rocks away. Okay? Yeah. And they stoned him to death. And Paul was consenting to his death. And then he went out and wreaked havoc on the church, turning things upside down, destroying things, imprisoning people. But yet on the Damascus Road one day, God showed up, kicked him off his beast of burden,
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Lord? Yes, Saul. That's right. He's calling, folks. It's a divine call unto salvation and repentance. God wants us to turn from our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. You understand that in Luke chapter 13, it says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, Jesus went forth and boldly preached repentance and faith. God wants us to come. He's calling, come to me. Turn from your sin. Turn from your condemnation and trust Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 16, the Bible tells us, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may know that that's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And as he's there, he cries, oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He said, they'll come if you send Lazarus back. They'll believe. They'll repent. They'll turn. No, they won't. No, they won't. They've been called. They've been summoned. The Holy Spirit of God, the Church of God, the Word of God is here calling out, come to Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Trust the Savior. It's a divine call. God wants people to be saved. He doesn't want them to suffer in their sins. He doesn't want them to be tormented in the flames of hell. He wants them to know Jesus Christ. He wants them to know the glory of heaven. He wants them to know the love of the Father toward them that He has given His Son. You understand that as Peter stood up full of the Holy Spirit of God and he began to preach to those in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know what God was doing? He was calling. You know what 3,000 people did? They responded. They responded. You know, not everyone is going to respond to the divine call to salvation and repentance. Not everyone is going to turn to Jesus Christ from their sin to the Savior. But these 3,000 did. The 12 did. 120 that sat in that upper room waiting for the promise of the Father to come did. The thief on the cross did. If you go through Hebrews chapter 11, you see that by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, many, many, many have answered the call. But can I tell you, the Bible says that this path, this way is narrow, and few there be that find it. Few. Oh, listen, we have countless examples of those who have answered the call, but can I tell you, multiplied multitudes above that have ignored it. They've ignored it. You know, the Bible tells us that hell hath enlarged herself. There are more people that are going to end up in hell than will end up in heaven. You see, that's not fair. Well, they need to answer the call. God has called. There's a divine call. All can choose. They can come. They can show up. Or they can stay behind. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, if you would. Luke chapter 14. God has given us a divine call. He hath called us. He hath called us with a holy calling. Have you answered? Luke chapter 14. Jesus was oftentimes using parables to show things to come and to present truths to people. Here in Luke chapter 14, and look at verse 21. Luke 14. If you look back up to verse 15, he says, he's talking about this parable of the kingdom of God. And he said in verse 16, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And then all these people we read here, we've read before that these people have made excuses, right? I bought a piece of ground. I need to go try it. I've married a wife. I have these oxen and all these things, and I can't come. So the servant came in verse 21 and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Can I tell you, God wants, he's calling, he wants us to come. He wants us to be there. But we need to answer. Sometimes we need to be compelled to come in. Sometimes we need to be in the highways and hedges, in the low points of our lives before we'll answer the call. You understand that a person cannot be saved until they know they're lost. There are so many in this world that have been blinded by the devil. Or may I say they've been deafened by the devil. Their ears have been stopped up. And though the call is out there and it's going on, but they're like, oh, that's not me. That's not my name. He's not calling my name. I'm good. I'm religious. Oh, I already believe in God. Well, that may be true. You may be a good person. But have you answered the call? The divine call to come to Jesus. God wants all of us to be saved. He wants us to be a part of His household and His family. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul reminded Timothy that God hath saved us, and God hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Take your Bibles back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look with me in verse 3. Look at verse 3 of our text. And those of you that have been here any length of time, you know that you've got to mark your place, because we're going to go back to the text there and flip around there. It says in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Look down to verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Not only has God called us to repentance and salvation, but God has called us to service. God has called us to service. Can I tell you something? You've not been saved just to sit around and collect dust. You've not been saved just to go through life and accumulate as much as you can and waste everything upon your own lusts and your own desires. Can I tell you something? You've been saved for a purpose. To accomplish a work. We've received salvation in Jesus Christ unto good works. Paul says he served God. Paul says that he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. God, Paul had a purpose. Paul was given a work to do. Even upon the day of his salvation, he was told that he must suffer many great things for the cause of Christ, and that he must bring the word of the gospel to the Gentiles. Can I tell you something? That those of us who have accepted eternal life through Jesus Christ now need to serve the Lord. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was kind of minding his own business, tending the sheep of the pasture, just doing the work of a farmer, if you will. And all of a sudden, one day, he kind of notices something a little strange. And he kind of looks a little closer. It's a bush. It's on fire. It was not being consumed. He looked at it a little while. That thing should be gone by now. It should just be ashes and smoke, embers. It's still flaming. Let me go check this out. As he gets closer, God says, hey. Whoa, he's talking. Hold on a second there, pal. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. All right. So he does. This conversation ensues. If you want to read this whole story, it's in Exodus chapter 3. But God says this. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, and ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, what shall and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. You know, Jesus told his disciples that as the Father had sent him, even so send I you. You know what? God has a purpose for us. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Yeah. We're supposed to serve the Lord. We've been called to serve. Are we going to? Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, that's toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter, just a few books before the book of Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 2. You're doing well. If you turn a little faster, we'll make it out on time today. And don't worry, I always blame it on you. It's all your fault. Slow me down. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Has God called us unto salvation, unto repentance? Yes, he has. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Why? Why are we this? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Has he called us out of darkness? Has he called us unto salvation? Yes, he has. Why? So we can show forth his marvelous light. which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are supposed to shine our light. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth. People are supposed to know our God because we serve the Lord God. In Isaiah chapter 6, the voice of the Lord was saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah stood up and said, here am I, send me. Have you answered the call? Oh, Isaiah was sitting around. He was seeing this whole thing unfold and he couldn't believe it. And he said, oh, I'm unclean. And God said, I've purified you and I've set you apart. And who are we going to send? And who's going to go for us? And I will. You know what that is? That's a response to the call. To the divine call of service. Will you go? Will you tell someone? Will you give out a gospel tract? Will you open your mouth for the Lord? Because he has saved you. We're told about Paul and how he met the Lord on that Damascus road. And in his testimony to King Agrippa, he said that Jesus appeared unto him and told him that he had appeared unto him for this purpose, to make him a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know what Joshua told the children of Israel on his deathbed as he was departing this world? He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers had served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers which fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you answered the call to serve the Lord God? Have you answered the call to be a witness to the lost in this dark world? To be a beacon of light? The Bible tells us that in our life, we are going to serve someone. Did you know that? You're going to serve someone. You're either going to serve those other gods. You're either going to serve the flesh. You're either going to serve the devil. You're going to serve this world. Or you're going to serve the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot. Can't do it. Hey, guess what? Let me put that in Texas terms. You can't ride the fence. Can't ride the fence. Get on one side or the other. That's how it is. You say, well, I'll serve God sometimes. Then you're not serving God. Yeah. That's not my opinion. That's what the book says. Serve. You've been called. Answer the call. You've been called to repentance and salvation. You've been called to service. Go back to our text once again. Look at verse 7. Paul says to Timothy, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So today, so far, we've seen a divine call to repentance and salvation. We've seen a divine call to service. And lastly, this morning, I want you to see the divine call to a decision. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to decide. He wants us to decide. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. He wants us to decide. In Bible college, as I was learning about preaching the gospel, my professor told me that preaching was meant to bring people to a point of decision. A point of decision. Hey, I think it's without question that there's a call out there. A call to salvation. A call to repentance. A call to service. Can I tell you something? God wants us to choose. Just like Joshua told the people of Israel, choose. As Elijah was on there, on the mountain, on Mount Carmel, and he was telling the people, say, hey, listen, you've got to choose. Can I say in your life today, maybe you're lost without Christ. Will you choose him today? Maybe you're already saved, you're born again. Will you choose to serve him? Maybe you've been saved and you've kind of gone away from God a little bit. Will you choose to come back? He wants you back. He wants you to make these choices. He wants you to decide what you're going to do. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul's writing and says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we've behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in also in you that believe. What did Paul ask? He said, we've told you the truth. He said that ye would. Would you? Would you walk worthy? Would you decide to do it? In 2 Peter, Peter said, as according as the divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We've been called. Then he says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can I just ask you today, will you decide to? Will you decide to? But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, Paul said. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and that they be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You understand that there's a would and a should in these statements. We've been called to make a decision. Will you? Will you decide? In Titus chapter 2, we've heard this verse many times over the last several months. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hello! He's calling. It hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Question is, will you? Will you? Will you decide? You understand, Peter also says, who in his own self bear our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does all this mean? We've been called to a decision. Will you answer the call? It's a divine call to repentance. The Spirit and the bride say, come. God wants us to come and drink of the water of life freely. Have you been born again? Will you decide? And if you have been born again, you've been called to service. Will you choose you this day whom you will serve? Will you decide? God wants you to decide. Should you? Would you? Could you? You should. God wants us to choose. There is therefore that now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You understand, it's a choice. We've been called to choose. Will you choose? We've been called to serve. Will you serve? We've been called to repent and to be saved. Will you? It's a divine call. Back in our text, in verse 9, Paul said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's a divine calling. The question is, will you answer?